Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Caregiving Gen X Style. I'm Steve Mullen.
And I'm Jennifer Mullen.
The lesson of this episode is plan for the worst. Now, this is something I'm really good at because generally I'm a pessimist.
Oh, you are.
And I expect the worst to happen.
Yes, you do.
Along your caregiving journey, you will find that you may run into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. You've set up a house of cards and fate just knocks it down. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the things that could go wrong and what you can do about them.
Of course, yes.
But first, Jennifer, how is your mom?
My mom is doing well.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm happy to continue reporting that. I did have a funny text exchange with her recently, and it just got me to thinking, right, of course, we've had an episode about technology, and this was not an instance of her not understanding the technology, but I don't even remember what the conversation was we were having back and forth, but her response back to me was true that.
True dat, yo.
Now, not true dat.
No.
Which would have been, if she had said that, I would have been super, super impressed.
Impressed and probably a little put off.
I don't know about put off, I mean, it was funny enough that she said...
I'd be weirded out if my mother said that to me.
All right, well, it was funny enough that she said true that. Like, that's just like such a younger generation kind of thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, even though it was a text, like I was hearing my mom's voice in my head saying true that. Just gave me a chuckle for the day. So she's all good. How about your mom, Steve?
I have quite the story to tell.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, you know all about it. You've heard, you've lived through it. But I'm going to tell it to everyone else now.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. So basically, you know, in the last episode, we talked about how my mother had to go back to the hospital. She had pneumonia / bronchitis, whatever the heck it actually was. And that she had to go off to a skilled nursing facility, skilled nursing and rehab facility, a SNRF.
SNRF.
Afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping at the time that we recorded that episode that she would be home in a few days. Well, from the time that she got to the SNRF to the time that she left and returned to her assisted living facility, the ALF, was 3.5 weeks. And here's why. So after about a week or so, her PT and OT professionals both came to me and said, she is at the level where she was accepted for return last time she came here.
Which
and
wasn't way, that long ago.
It was only about a month before because, as you recall, she had that gastric bleed. It's just been kind of a mess lately. Completely unrelated mess. So I called up the ALF and asked for the healthcare director to come over and do her assessment. She came over, watched my mother get up in the morning and get herself ready for the day, asked her to do a couple of stands at the bar in the bathroom. And I was not in the room at the time. There were several people in there and it was just a little crowded. So I was sitting outside. She walked by and she said, oh, she's just not ready. And I said, oh, well, that's a shame. And I figured she had a bad session and it was a mess or something. I said, well, we'll try again in a few days, I guess. Moments later, the PT professional comes out and said, she did great. Are they letting her go home?
Yeah.
And so I literally ran up the hallway, mm-hmm. grabbed the healthcare director and said, why is she not ready to go home? She said, she is not appropriate for assisted living.
Mm.
And I looked at her and I said, so what does that mean? You think she should be in a nursing home?
Which is insane.
I think that would be a better place for her.
Yeah.
But it's not my decision. I have to send this up to corporate. And this is something that had never happened before. I'd never heard of corporate having to weigh in on these things. So, of course, I felt like somebody had hit me in the back of the head with a shot put. And I went back and told my mother, and we both just sat there in silence for a while because we're like, okay, right as of right now, you're officially homeless. You know, she was in the SNRF, and I confirmed with the SNRF that she was good to stay there for a while because as long as they have things to work on and you don't reach a certain limit of days, which I believe is 100 days in one stay, Medicare will pay for it as long as they can confirm that there are things that they can improve. So she had a place to live, which is great. So a few days later, I managed to get a meeting with the executive director, who, by the way, is brand new. She'd only been there.
Another brand new one.
I think this is about our 10th, if you include the interims, in 2.5 years. That'll tell you something about this facility. But anyway, so it was me. I requested that the healthcare director not be there because I didn't think I could look her in the face without screaming at her. So it was the executive director, a marketing assistant, but she's been there a long time, and that may have been for continuity because she knew how things worked, and I'm glad she was there. And on the phone was somebody from healthcare at corporate. I think she's like the regional healthcare manager or something. So we went through this meeting. I said, can you please tell me why it is that my mother's not appropriate for this facility anymore. She said, well, she can't roll herself around in her wheelchair anymore. I said, that is garbage. It's complete garbage. I knew she could do it. I'd seen her do it. I don't know where this information came from. And then she tried to bring up, and we mentioned this on the last episode, about my mother getting bronchitis, pneumonia, whatever it was. And she said, well, I just don't think we can take care of her. You know, she's been sick lately. I said, she was sick because your healthcare people didn't take care of her in the first place. This was a failure on your part, which could have happened to anyone in this building.
Yep.
Don't even, I mean, I was red-faced and close to yelling at her.
Yes, and I know you very well, obviously, and that is out of character for you.
I was red-faced and angry a lot through this period.
Yes.
So anyway, we got through this meeting, and the woman on the phone said, well, and I didn't know this, she said, actually, I know your mother. And she reminded me, and then I sort of remembered it. She was an interim executive director the summer before, and she said, I know your mother. I actually helped your mother. There was a little flood with her air conditioning unit, and I helped her get her new carpet, and I got to know her pretty well, and I like your mother an awful lot, so I'm going to come down and do an assessment on Monday. So this was Friday. She's going to do it on Monday. Or it was Tuesday, something like that. Anyway.
Although the whole liking your mom a lot seems a little bit irrelevant, I will say. I said that back at that time. I mean, in the end, right, they have to be assessing residents based on their...
Of course. But the fact that I said, so you know what my mother was like last summer. She said, yes. I said, I will tell you. She's pretty much the same right now. And it's not just me saying this. It's her physical therapy and occupational therapy professionals both saying this. So I need to back up for just a second. I told you this was long. I'm sorry. But at the same time, and I believe we mentioned this in the last episode, at the same time that my mother was in this SNRF, there were two other ladies from her assisted living that were also at the SNRF. And one of them, as it turns out, I bumped into her son, who I didn't really know, but I knew he was her son. It turns out they were going through the same stuff that we were. And interestingly, so they were they're both higher level of care at the ALF. Not the highest level of care. Neither of them are level 5. That's the highest level. They're both level 4. But he was getting the same thing. And if it's possible, he's even more angry than I am.
Well,
he is a healthcare professional.
He's a healthcare professional. So he actually has even a little more insight into some of what the shortcomings are.
Well, shortcomings. And also he understands, you know, her medical situation probably better than I understand my mother's.
Yeah.
And he was just, I'm furious. Does not quite even cover it.
One good thing about it. If there's a good thing, that might be a weird way to say it, but you know, the old adage, misery loves company. Not that you want anyone else to be going through something like that, because that's horrible, right? It was a horrible situation. But I think there at least was some, at least we know it wasn't a 100% personal against your mother in some way, shape, or form.
From the time that she said this, which was on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then I had this meeting, and then, you know, the assessment, we'll get to that in a second, but I kept sitting there thinking, what did I do wrong?
It felt like she had like a target on her back.
What did my mother do wrong? Yeah. What did we do wrong?
And I don't think that's it.
I can tell you right now, she's about as healthy as she's been. Yeah. And what's the problem?
Yeah.
So anyway, we got to this assessment. I was not there for it, but she came in and did an assessment of my mother and this other little old lady and approved them both to return. So what I found out, by the way, at that meeting with the executive director, I forgot this, is that apparently, from now on, all assessments will be done by corporate.
Which is really just...
stupid. It's stupid.
It is stupid. I don't understand. Because it wasn't a given that the woman from corporate was going to be there physically. It was just that paperwork was going to be sent up to corporate to make a decision,
I think,
right?
I think the regional people now are doing the assessments in person.
They're going to be making, really? These road trips all over the place?
Two things. Number one, for the most part, they're not going to know the resident that's trying to get back. It was just kind of fortunate she knew my mother. She had been working at the facility for a few months. She got to know my mother. But for the most part, you know, she's not going to know these people. So it's a complete stranger. Number two, it can delay the whole process. So my mother was asking to go back with her initial assessment. She was asking to go back on a Tuesday. She didn't get the new assessment until the following Monday, basically a week later. So anytime anybody goes to a SNRF, they have to expect to be there a week later than they should be. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. So Anyhow, she was approved a return. I actually talked to this woman, the regional healthcare manager, whatever. She said, oh, she's doing great. I saw her do this. I saw her do this. Yeah, I saw her wheel herself all the way down from the dining room to her room. And I'm like, of course she can. I've seen her do it. I know she can do it. I don't know where the heck this executive director got the idea that she couldn't. So anyway, she went back 2 days later. In the middle of all of this, we found a new assisted living for her to go to. She is moving. I have had enough. I cannot have her stay there anymore, and she cannot stay there anymore. Well, she wants nothing to do with this place anymore.
It's turned into a really untenable situation. It's extremely untenable. Your mother should not have to live somewhere where she feels like there's a target on her back. Whether or not there is or not at this point, based on the way everything was handled, is kind of irrelevant because she feels that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think since she's returned and she's been back now for, I don't know, what's it been, a week and a half, almost 2 weeks now. Yep. And during that time, I really hoped that they would at least allow her to just live her life there and not be uncomfortable. That's not been the case. At least two or three different times, the healthcare director has come in while my mother gets ready for the morning and watched her and the CNA. It's like she's continuing to do assessments after she's already been approved for return.
I think word hasn't made its way to her specifically that your mom is moving.
I didn't mention it. I did put a 30-day notice in. I gave it to the executive director. It's possible word has not gone around, and I'm going to try to make sure it does.
The point is, though, let's assume word hasn't gotten around. That does, in fact, mean that our instinct was correct, that probably your mom, maybe at least from this point forward, was going to have a bit of a target on her back.
And she really does. So. And it is kind of funny. My mother's actually kind of having a little bit of fun with it. The last time she came in for the morning, my mother looked up and said, well, what are you doing here? She said, oh, well, you know, we're a little shorthanded, so everybody has to chip in. There was another person in the room with CNA in the room with them.
Which is really all your mom
needs.
My
mother never needs more than one CNA, yeah. Particularly in the morning. If she's really tired in the evening, sometimes, once in a blue moon, they'll ask another one to come in and help. Never in the morning. And so that was complete garbage. And so my mother looked at her and said, oh, that's great. Can you go ahead and open the blinds for me? And can you get this? And can you get that? Well, if you're going to be a CNA... you're going to get stuff for me while I'm getting ready in the morning. So she's trying to take it as best as she can.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. I offered to go up and yell at the executive director for her. She said, what's the point? I mean, we're trying to set a move date for about 2.5 weeks from now, actually getting close to 2 weeks from now. And what's the point of yelling at this point? I'm just so tired of being angry. This period that I was just talking about has been one of the hardest parts of my caregiving journey.
Yes.
Right up there with... Well, earlier in the year when my mother almost died, moving her out of her house and really moving her into an assisted living in the first place, they're all pretty much even. This has been miserable. I have been angry all the time. Jennifer can confirm that.
Well, angry and more, you know, as I have watched you come home at the end of every day, being very stressed about the multitude of things that have gone wrong. Being worried about you and just
there were a couple
sure
of times Jennifer actually was concerned I would have a heart attack or stroke over this. And I did get to go out of town last week, which was wonderful. It was my regularly scheduled annual golf trip with the guys. And this year,
we almost thought you weren't going to go.
We almost thought I wasn't going to be able to go. And thankfully, mom got back to assisted living, the ALF, a few days before. And I said, okay, I know she's settled. And really, even if she'd been forced to stay at the SNRF, she was settled in there. She didn't like it, but she was settled in. I probably would have gone anyway.
Yeah.
And Jennifer visited her, our son visited her, and it was fine.
We took up the slack.
You did. And I was able to get out of town and just basically spend a week not having to worry about anything, but where am I having dinner and where's my next round of golf?
Yes, which made me very happy
for
you. Yes.
Lovely. And I needed it so bad.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Now, can we have just a little side squirrel note just to lighten things up just a tiny bit?
Yes.
Because all of you out there, if you've been listening from the beginning, I bet you know what is on the horizon if we're going to be moving Steve's mother. Do you want to know what that is?
Oh, yes.
75 teapots that need to be packed up again.
Guess who gets to pack them?
Guess who gets to pack
them?
This
lady right across the table from me. Yeah, you did volunteer.
I did offer to do it. So I know this time, thankfully, we were able to say to your mom, listen, we just have got to hire a company that is going to both pack and move you. not just move you, but pack and move you. I mean, our daughter's about to graduate college. Yes. Work has been particularly busy for me lately. We just needed some additional help. And so yay for us to be able to say that. However, I just couldn't stand the thought of a moving company packing up the teapot. So I will happily do it.
My mother actually said, well, if we're going to have them pack, they may as well pack the teapots. I said, no, not a good idea. Jennifer wants to do it.
I mean, like, we joke about it, and I joke about, like, oh my God, 75 teapots and I still have PTSD. Kind of true, except that, right? I mean, it's
proud of the fact that we moved her and none of them broke.
Well, and it's your mother's prized collection. I'm not going to let anything happen to it. So,
All right. So let's finally move on. This is the mess I've been going through. We almost talked about it a whole episode just on that, but I thought it might be a little too self-serving. And we actually thought briefly about delaying this episode just to have more time. But here we are. We're doing it. We're powering through. We're professionals. And we're going to do this episode.
Professionals at our dining room
table.
We're
going to do this episode. That's dang us. It. All right. So let's get to it. So what's the first thing that could go wrong, Jennifer? One of the first things.
Well, insurance could be a big issue.
Big mess.
Insurance maybe won't pay anymore. So in most cases, Medicare and Medicaid are usually pretty easy to predict, but sometimes things can happen that you're not expecting. And so one example of this is with Gagi, and we had talked about this probably a really long time ago, but when she was in the hospital with surgery, it's probably been 3.5-4 years ago now.
Mm-mm, no, it's been more like 2.5.
Oh, is that
two
all?
2.5, 2.75, maybe.
Oh, okay, I've clearly put it further in the rear view mirror. Anyway, a while ago. But the hospital gave barely any warning that her discharge date was coming up. So when the time came for them to announce the discharge date, ooh, that's a little hard to say.
Discharge date.
They also said, well, we really think that she needs to go to skilled nursing. Okay, fine. But then this led to a mad scramble for my brother and I to find a facility that was good, that had a bed for her, that was in a reasonable location for both of us to get back and forth to. So we did finally find one. When we say mad scramble, I mean, we had to pick something within less than 24 hours.
Yeah, they said, she's being discharged tomorrow. Where do you want to send her?
It was, yes.
It's crazy.
It was crazy. So we found one. And, you know, there's reviews of these places. We may have talked about this before. There are reviews of these places. So really, you know, my brother was able to do the bulk of the, you know, there really were only a couple of good location options and then look for the reviews. And what we learned, and it's, you know, it's hindsight, right? The reviews just never are 100% accurate.
No, they are
and
not.
The best case scenario is that you have time to go visit the facility before you're going to put your loved one there. And we didn't have time to do that.
On top of the reviews just being a little skewed one way or the other, there's the issue of, you know, if somebody's loved one was there 6 months before, they may have been fully staffed at that moment.
Right.
And they're not fully staffed now.
Well,
that's an issue.
What we always have to take into account with Gagi stay at that particular time. I mean, we were still close.
It was 2021.
It was still, you're right. It was still COVID times.
Right.
So a lot of places were short staffed. There were a lot of additional challenges just in general with any healthcare facility. So even had we chosen the one, which now your mom has been to several times, which we know is pretty good.
It's a pretty decent one as they go, yes.
We don't 100% know that it would have been tons better at that exact moment in time.
And actually we do, because my mother was at that place about a month later.
Was it that close?
Oh, it really was. Well, I think because right about the time your mother came back home and was becoming independent, that's when my mother's leg stopped working.
Yeah.
And about 3 or 4 weeks from then, she was in the hospital. Actually, let's say 2 months.
Yeah.
Because it was a couple of weeks before she'd get into the hospital. She was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and then she ended up in the SNRF. And so, yeah, 2 months. It really wouldn't have been that much different, really.
Well, the lesson here, and again, I feel like we have talked about this before, but probably we can't say it enough times, is if you have the luxury, the time, the ability right now, even if you're not yet in that position, but if you're taking care of an elderly person, you know, at some point, they probably will end up in a hospital and most likely then have to do the transition into a skilled nursing facility. So if you have the time to check out the places around you, what would be convenient, just pop in, visit, definitely a good idea if you can kind of see what you're getting into.
And I'll say this, we've learned a little bit about these SNRFs and how where they fall in the healthcare world. And I think I've even talked to some healthcare professionals about it. And basically the way it's working now is, you know, 30 years ago from a hospital stay that my mother had or your mother had, they probably would have stayed longer. Now what they're doing is they're getting them out the door, shipping them off to skilled nursing to finish their recovery. And that's exactly what happened when my mother had pneumonia. She was still on oxygen when she left, and they weaned her off of it at the SNRF.
Yeah.
And of course started the PT and OT, which was great, but that's where they fall these days, and they're using them more and more and more as really an extension of a hospital.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
Yeah.
So, and I'll briefly go through this as another example, and it's very similar to what Goggy went through, except we fortunately had a little bit of extra time. So, you know, my mother was in a rehab hospital after her surgery in 2021 that we were just talking about. And I dialed in for the weekly patient care meeting because I couldn't be there in person. We've talked about patient care meetings. It's basically, it's the loved one, it's the patient or resident, and then it's a doctor. It's somebody from the nursing staff, somebody from PT, somebody from OT. So I dialed in, and on this particular fateful day, I was not expecting anything other than an update on how she's doing. But instead, the facility said, you know, your mother's just not strong enough to do the rehab work at this facility. It's too much for her. And we talked about these things. It's like rehab boot camp. It is hard.
Those were tough days. Yeah. Yes.
So yeah. They said she's not progressing because she can't do the stuff that we need her to do here. So, and insurance won't cover the rehab anymore if she's not progressing. We've talked about this. So in short, they said, time for her to go. And thankfully, though, they gave us warning. They said, we'll give you another week. And that sent Jennifer and I scrambling to find a SNRF that was better than the one that her mother stayed in, which thankfully we did. And this place was pretty close to our house.
Yep.
It's maybe 10 minutes away. So we found that place. And, you know, it was kind of a mess because of COVID too. But Jennifer came in enough to know that it was worlds better.
Right. I mean, we'd had the benefit of at that point of already having had an experience because Goggy was in the SNRF for several weeks. So we already had that experience. Then we had time to tour a couple of other places mm-hmm. while things wrapped up for your mom at the rehab facility. So, you know, we had time to check some things out. And at that specific moment, I knew some of the questions.
Yes, thankfully. And we have two SNRFs in our immediate area, in our little town. And thankfully, we knew that one of them was actually owned by the same company as the place where Goggian stayed. So we immediately scratched that one off.
It looked weird. Same. Yeah, it looked. I speaking of having PTSD, I had PTSD the second I walked into that place. I was like, nope, we should not do this one. Which is, by the way, a totally unfair assessment because
it is. But I will tell you, I have heard plenty of stories about that place since then.
Yeah,
you know, somebody. From the ALF where my mother lives, her husband lived with her in the ALF, and he was there for quite some time, and they immediately lost his shoes right after he got there. Yeah. And then they lost a Afghan that she had knitted for him when he got out of the service, God knows how many years ago.
Yeah.
And he ended up with sepsis. He ended up with COVID. Can't blame him for that. It happens. But he ended up passing away at the skilled nursing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm not going to blame him for all of that, but losing the man's shoes.
Yeah, I never understand. I don't understand how that happens.
So,
but
anyway,
the
lesson here really is if your loved one goes to the hospital, think about that skilled nursing because it may happen. Have a plan B for where they're going to go next and consider the fact that you may not have a lot of notice to get them there.
Yep.
So be thinking about that as your loved one gets older.
Yep, definitely.
So what's next?
You could get sick. Or injured, right? This is something you
happen.
As the caregiver could get sick or injured. So, you know, we tend to, those of us who are in these situations, we really just tend to consider ourselves or just pretend, because we have to pretend, that we're all bulletproof. Like, we have to stay well and take care of things.
Right.
It's just what we have to do. But, you know, we're human. We can get sick. We can get injured. We've talked about some of these examples in the past. So there was the time when your mom was in the hospital, you got bursitis.
Bad, nasty case of bursitis in my elbow.
It was, and it was an infection in your elbow. It was kind of gross, but it was, we think ultimately, I think that the doctor said to you, you probably had a tiny open wound on your elbow, like sat down in like a, in a hospital chair where,
and picked let's it right face up. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they don't wipe everything down.
That was one instance. Another one, again, Steve, your mom was in the hospital with UTI, with COVID. And then you caught COVID.
And was just batty, by the way. I mean, she didn't know which end was up at that moment. And yeah, and I knew it was going to happen, but I knew somebody had to be there for her because she was barely speaking in the English language at that point. She was so messed up.
Now, is this the same? This was the same one where I was out of town for work.
Oh, yes. And Jennifer was out of town.
I was in Indianapolis. I was many states away.
Yes.
And I remember
it was lovely.
I asked you, well, it was kind of lovely for me. A little. Well, I avoided getting COVID too, which just, we didn't need to all be sick.
Right.
But yeah, I remember I felt absolutely horrible. And I still have like one of those very vivid memories in my head of standing in my hotel room. I remember that hotel room exactly and saying to you, like, do I need to get on a plane and come home?
Don't worry about me. I'll be fine.
Yeah, probably that sounded about right.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So the long and short of it is you, the caregiver, are not actually bulletproof. And my mother, my mother has said before, if I get a little sniffle, she's like, no, you're not allowed to get sick.
Yeah.
And I mean, it happens though. You're going to get sick sometimes. You're going to get hurt sometimes.
What we've also said, whether your mom is in the hospital or in a skilled nursing facility, I mean, the good thing is there are other people there to help take care of her.
All the
little loving things that you do for her as her son aren't going to get done.
Extras.
But yes. Yeah.
Of course. So, you know, another thing that could happen is just other parts of your life get in the way. You know, we've talked about, we're in the sandwich generation. A lot of us Gen Xers, our kids are getting older, but a lot of us do have still, you know, teenagers. And we do know some, you know, older millennials or some millennials listen to this show too, and their kids are, for the most part, on average, younger. You know, mostly on this show, we talk about one of the pieces of our bread, that's the parents. But, you know, the other piece is your kids. And we are blessed that our kids are doing well. They're relatively self-sufficient. That doesn't mean all kids are, or even that ours will remain that way. Things happen. You know, like I said, you may have younger pieces of bread than we do, and thus that bread needs more attention. And the only advice that we can give for this situation is divide, conquer, and prioritize.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I referenced it earlier, right? That it's part of why we made the decision to say we've got to pay a little extra money to have a moving company also pack your mom. Because we have our daughter's college graduation to look forward to in a couple of weeks. And
less than a week.
Oof.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. It's
less like than a week. Five days.
5 days from now.
5 days from now.
I know.
Yes.
It's crazy.
So we have that.
It'll be actually 3 days after this episode publishes, which, by the way, we don't usually record this close to publication date, but things happened.
So we have that. We have Mother's Day. Then we also have our daughter's birthday.
Yep.
And then she also wants to have a graduation party with her nursing cohort. So we're going to be hosting a bunch of recently graduated nursing students here. There is a lot going on.
There is.
And we have put some priority on that for the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So to divide and conquer, the hope is you have a spouse or a sibling that's willing to jump in. That's a hope. Another possibility is that the secondary or backup caregiver we talked about in the first episode, you know, maybe they are a sibling, maybe they're a cousin, who the heck knows? Maybe it's just a good friend who's willing to help. Get them off the bench. Get them off the bench and get them into the game. You know, if there's something that needs to happen with your parent and your child at the same time and you don't have the spouse and both of you need to be there, the backup or secondary hopefully can jump in. You know, if there is no backup, this is the time for asking a friend to help. That friend that said, let me know if I can ever help.
We've been very fortunate to have a lot of friends who've said that.
We have. And, you know, this is where, you know, if it's a kid's sporting event or something, they have a soccer game, a softball game, whatever. This is where you set up a carpool.
Yep.
Say, hey, can little Billy ride with you this time? Because we really have some stuff going on with my mother. And most of the time, that's not going to be a problem. So the final possibility is that some areas do have services that will help take elderly people to doctor's appointments. It's not ideal. I wouldn't love it so much, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And just check on your area, local area agency on aging, which we've talked about a few times. If you go to the website for your county, your city, you might find something like that that you could keep in your back pocket.
Well, and sometimes, I mean, it's only natural. You're going to feel overwhelmed at certain points.
I don't know what that feels like at all.
You're going to feel overwhelmed by the things you put off doing because of, you know, your caregiving. So prioritizing your life as a caregiver is kind of like triage, in an emergency room, right? So the most critical cases go back first and then the less critical ones a little bit later. And it's what leads to sometimes 5-hour waits in the ER for something you think is important, but clearly is not maybe the most critical case that they're seeing in the emergency room at that moment. So, you know, maybe one way to manage this to help keep from feeling so overwhelmed is to write down the things that have to happen. And just, you know, one, maybe when you look at them on paper, it will be really easy to prioritize and say,
Jennifer,
okay.
Jennifer was just listing the things we have coming up and
Yeah. You know, if something has to wait until tomorrow, then that is okay. You're not always going to be a superhero. You definitely want to be. You want to, we all do. It's human. We all want to handle all the things that we can handle. But sometimes, you know, some things just have to get put on hold. And it is what it is. And you can't feel bad about it.
It's true. Another thing you can do to prepare for the worst is to sit down and think of all of the things that could go wrong.
This is where you come in handy.
I am really good at this. Actually, it's something I used to do, you know, when I was working with various companies. I got a reputation for a little bit of being a little bit of a negative Nelly, but if there was something that could go wrong, I'd figure it out.
Well, that was part of your role.
It really was
to be the, okay, if the worst case scenario happens, here's how we're going to respond to it.
Exactly. So what happens if your kid's in college but needs you to come for an emergency? Maybe they broke their leg. Maybe they have appendicitis. Could be any number of things. What happens if you, like we said earlier, you get sick or injured? What happens if your parent is dismissed from a facility and you didn't know it was coming? And finally, what happens if your work says you absolutely need to be available on a day when you have an important doctor's appointment with your parent or something else that's going on that has to be taken care of? Think about what you're going to do if those things happen in your life. And you surely have some unique ones of your own that you could come up with. Just come up, at least think about them.
Yep. There's a million things that could happen, right? It's all about obviously being flexible for sure. But if you do kind of have a plan, kind of have some things written down, that can definitely help ease some of the stress in those moments.
Right. So that's our episode. Thanks for listening. Our next episode, we're actually going to bring back a former guest from the show. At least that's the plan as of right now. I hope it doesn't get delayed again, but it's going to be a good one. It was actually an idea from a listener who we actually sent us a voicemail, which we love those.
Yes.
So if you'd like to get in touch with us with a question, a comment, question of any kind, you know, just tell us, how's your mom? How's your dad? We love hearing about those things. You can email us at caregivinggenxstyle@gmail.com. You can send us a voicemail or you can send us a text if you want to. 804-723-1221. And those will be, of course, in our show notes in case you don't have a chance to write them down. You can find us on Twitter. Our handle is at Gen X Caregiving. And we're on Facebook. And just go on to the show notes and click the link to Facebook, because if you go search, you might find an old one that I thought had gone away. Anyway, we've talked about that. If you've been listening for a while, we talked about that. So we hope to hear from you soon. Have a great day.
Good night, everyone.